Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 40 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm feeling good. We are less than 24 hours away from opening day, real Major League Baseball in the 2021 season. It's kind of a rainy Wednesday, but you know, that can't even drag me down today. And the first thing I'm going to do here is introduce our special guest for our New York Mets preview that we have for you guys today. We have one of the smartest sports minds I've ever met, a fellow Bruce Beck Sports Broadcasting alumni, Sports Broadcasting Camp alumni. I'm already jumbling my words. Zoe Alter, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Kyle. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. This is going to be a good show. Me too. Zoe had us on her show. Zoe, do you want to shout out your show real quick? We were on her show back in like November for like fantasy football, right?
Oh yeah. So it's called Football Frenzy on YouTube. I'll send you guys the links. So you could like put in the description or whatever, but it's basically weekly talking about football, what's going on. This is going to be weird for me. I've been in such like a football, just like trance for so long talking about baseball. I'm like, I have my phone out for the first time. I've never looked at notes in my life, but I have my phone out. Cause I'm like, oh no.
It's almost like a breath of fresh air though.
It is.
Definitely. So we had Luke McIntyre on yesterday to talk Yankees. Today we're going to be focusing on solely the New York Mets, the number one team in New York. No, that's not true. Not yet. But yeah, so today's going to be primarily a Mets discussion, kind of the way that we did yesterday with the Yankees. We have a lot to talk about going into the season because right now we have a much better outlook compared to the beginning of last season. So why don't we get into that right now? So obviously, let's start with offseason acquisitions. So obviously, since the beginning or the end of the last league year, the Mets have made some very daring moves. How do you think that these moves are going to help the team so far, Zoe?
I mean, I think it helps a lot with Lindor bringing him in because there was always a question mark. I love Ahmed Rosario, but there was always a little bit of a question mark around him. If the ball was hit to him, is he actually going to field the ball and make the play? Is he going to make a crazy play or is he going to miss the easy grounder to him? So for me, I really like this signing. Also, Lindor, Mr. Smile, he's a guy that comes in and brings your whole team up. Especially, we saw at the end of last year, Pete Alonso had started to do that. He was the guy that everyone was like radiating around, and I love that, but I think it works even better when it's your shortstop rather than your first baseman. And so I think it's going to be really, really special to have him in there. In addition, you go out and you get a catcher. That was one of the biggest things that the Mets have needed, what they've been dealing with. I love Wilson Ramos, but he is not your solution to a catcher, and anyone else that they could have thrown in there didn't help. James McCann is a great guy to have in there. And then you go out and get a couple pitchers to help your rotation. You get Trevor May, who you'll throw in there in the bullpen. There's just a couple little things that the Mets addressed. Usually we see the Mets go out and get players they don't really need, and that's the biggest thing that they've always done. But now they actually filled the holes that they needed. And for me, I'm excited because of that, because I'm not too worried about any huge gaping hole that we didn't fix.
No, I completely agree. I mean, ever since Steve Cohen took over from the Wilpons, I've had a lot more confidence in this team's offseason moves because it seemed like in the past, they just kind of go out there, they spend money on useless players that don't really end up doing anything for the team, except get them a few more wins that end up in just under a playoff loss. But I'm going to focus right now on Lindor. Right now, it is 4:25 on the Wednesday. Lindor and the Mets still have not signed an extension. It's definitely been something that's been talked about over the past week or so. They said that there was a potential deal in place that Lindor didn't want. What were the numbers again? Was it 10-325? And then
that's what they offered him. And then he wanted 385 for 12 years, which would have been higher than Mookie's contract. So it didn't make sense for him to ask for that. But
like we were saying right before this, I don't really think he's worth that. I think that 10-325 is a real like pretty solid deal, honestly. I think that that's probably right around where he's deserving. I know like you're always going to try to fight for more, but as of right now, it doesn't look like they're going to end up getting that extension done by the midnight. I really don't think that they will, which is kind of concerning.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see it happening just because unless they can find a middle ground, and Lindor seems like a guy who would settle for less. Plus I know he likes playing in New York. We've already seen it. He loves the spotlight that he's getting, but I think it depends if he can settle for less, because does he like not realize that he's not worth Betts' numbers? That's the thing. Like, you're not going to be paid like the superstar that's like the face of the league. You know, you're not going to be paid like Mike Trout. You're not going to be paid like Mookie Betts. So I think if he can just get over that little hump, they'll be fine. And obviously Steve Cohen is willing to pay him whatever he needs to pay him. So I don't think money's the issue here. I think the issue is just like fitting in with the other players and not asking for way more money than you're supposed to have, you know?
Exactly. I mean, like, look, he has not played a single game with the Mets so far. He has not been up to bat at once.
Exactly. What if he sucks? What if he just like falls apart in New York? Like,
look, obviously we're hoping for that to not happen, but I really don't think that the Mets should be giving him this kind of money when he hasn't shown anything for this Mets organization. Granted, he's a great player. He's one of the best in the MLB. I think that he's going to have a huge impact on this Mets team, but we haven't seen him play. I don't think that it's fair to be asking for $385 and a 12-year deal when that's not really kind of proven yet that he deserves that.
I'd also like to point out that Francisco Lindor had a down year last year. Like,
exactly.
Albeit it was a 60-game season, but I think that somewhat of what Francisco might be doing is like, give me 12, 385, or I'm going to bet on myself to have a great season here with the Mets, and I'll either re-sign with you guys because I look great in blue and orange, we had a great season and we were winning, or someone else will give me the 12, 385. So it almost seems like he's betting on himself after a down year last year.
No, definitely. And like, obviously right now, it's still a big question mark on whether or not they're going to be able to come up with a deal. I really don't think that they're going to today or by the deadline, but I don't know. It's very annoying being in this position because I'm just expecting for that Twitter notification to show up right now that they sign, and it's just not coming.
I keep checking. I'm so nervous.
Yeah, Heyman's been all – I mean, is Lindor a Boris client? Do we know that?
I'm not sure.
Because I know that Garrett Cole, that broke from Heyman because Scott Boras and John Heyman are like this. So I don't know. I'm going to check, though.
I don't know. It's just – I feel like it puts the Mets in a weird position, too, because the Mets went all out for getting Lindor. And especially this offseason, there were other guys that I know the Mets were targeting that they didn't get either. There was talk of George Springer coming to New York. There was all these guys that could have possibly come over. And the one guy – I'm not mad about our free agency in any sense, but you got Lindor. That was your guy. If you only get Lindor for 1 year and you can't lock him up, to me, that screams a red flag because you went all out on this guy and you decided to not really, really target any other huge stars because you were going 110% for Lindor. That's fine. Go 110% for Lindor, but then keep him here. You can't just have him for 1 year and just let him walk because what do? You traded away not only Rosario, but you traded away your future shortstop in Jimenez. So who are you going to put at shortstop if you let Lindor walk because you have no one behind him?
And look, I really think that the Mets did kind of – what's it called? I think that the Mets absolutely won that trade for Lindor. But in terms of if they're only going to keep him for 1 year, then what's the point? I mean, they got Carrasco in that trade, but right now he's out for, I think, 6 weeks now at this point. He's 34. That's not someone that you're going to trade your future shortstop and Ahmed Rosario for. This is looking concerning.
I mean, it's the Mets. It's always concerning. But I think one of the biggest things is that I wanted to see the Mets go after young players. That's something that has been there for a while. I've seen that with a lot of teams. You know, I'm a Lions fan. Lions only target old players and they all suck. But the Mets have started this trend too. And I don't like the trend at all. I think you'd rather go after young players and build your foundation for the future. The Mets have always played for like, oh, let's pick up one player and maybe this season will be the year. But DeGrom's getting older. Not saying he's getting worse. He's not. I think he's winning the Cy Young this year. But
he ages like a fine wine. You don't have to worry about DeGrom yet.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I hope not. The older he gets, the better he gets. But it's just like you're bringing guys and the core of your team is getting older. Alonso has tons of years, but you have a young core. So I like them bringing Lindor because he's not old. He's on the younger side, but he's not like
27.
Yeah, he's on the exactly. So he's on the younger side, but it's not like he's like too young to play. You know, some guys are like rookies. Like he's going to be a leader for your team who's going to play for a lot of years. And that's why I like him here. So that's why I just keep checking my phone. I'm so nervous they're not going to re-sign him.
Lindor is going to be very young hitting free agency if he doesn't sign this extension is what
I'm saying. Exactly.
Like, wow, 27. Four-time All-Star at age 27, too. It's pretty wild.
And he's acted like he wants to be in New York, too. I mean, you mentioned him in the blue and orange. He's been all over the paparazzi, the press. And, you know, some guys avoid it when they come here. They're like, don't talk to me. Edwin Diaz is one of those guys that was like, he knew he couldn't handle it. He was like, please don't interview me. I don't want the press. But Francisco Lindor wants the press. That's who he is. He's known as Mr. Smile because he's going to go out and he's going to get everyone's attention. So, I mean, the way I see it, unless us as like the public and fans is missing something, it looks to me like he wants to be here. And so I'm more than anything am confused why he hasn't signed the deal yet.
Completely. It's very frustrating.
I have a question for you guys as a Yankees fan from the outside looking in. So obviously Lindor was like, it seems like he was their guy from the beginning and that they were going to also try to get Real Muto, Springer, and Bauer when the Bauer situation also ended up being kind of a mess at the end of the day.
Yeah, but I'm glad at the end of the day for that.
No, I don't like Trevor Bauer either. Zoe, what's your opinion on Trevor Bauer?
Okay, Trevor Bauer, I feel like is one of those guys where a couple years ago, like I was on YouTube, or like a year ago, and he just like randomly came up and I was like, wait, who is this guy? And
then literally me too.
Like, I saw there was a video where he was pitching against like a softball player, and that was the only reason I saw him. And so he came up and I was like, who is this guy? So then I looked more into him. And then obviously last year he had a big year, even though he only pitched 10 or 11 games and decided that he was the best player who ever played.
But I know.
I think it's more him just going out and being like, I'm the best, look at me. And I am so, so glad he didn't come to New York, because at first I was pissed that we didn't get him. But then I was happy about it, because him and DeGrom would not have gotten along, because DeGrom can be like humble and certain things, but DeGrom knows he's the ace here. And Bauer wanted to go somewhere where he's the ace. And I was on our friend Eddie Pelleggia. You guys know him from camp.
Oh, yeah,
I was talking to him last night about this, because we were saying how I don't think it.
He's a big Mets fan too, right?
Yeah. I wanted to see like how it worked in LA, because I don't think that Bauer's personality is going to get along with Kershaw, because Kershaw also wants to be an ace.
Of course.
And so I thought that was going to be
Walker Buehler.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I didn't want Trevor Bauer. You guys probably know this. Like, Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer apparently hate each other.
Like, yeah, and I think Trevor Bauer
in LA, and they just did not get along.
Yeah, I think any ace that Trevor Bauer goes to the team, Trevor Bauer thinks he's the new ace. How old are you, Trevor Bauer? How long have you been playing? You had one good season last year, but you literally can't last the whole season, because he played 10 or 11 games. That gets you through a little bit of the season, but on a team where in LA, maybe they rely on him less because you have so many ridiculous pitchers. But if you go anywhere else, the team's going to rely on you so much, especially if you're their so-called ace. So I don't know how he's going to fare throughout a whole season. He signed this huge deal. What if he can't last past 10 games every season? And what if he fizzles out? That's not going to get him a Cy Young. That's not going to bring him to the World Series.
And I think it's definitely worth noticing. I mean, I'm not going to say that it was a Mickey Mouse season last year, but it's definitely worth like noting. Yeah, like you said,
it was.
No, but he hasn't played a full season where he's been able to wow all these spectators and stuff like that, where we don't know his full potential. So like you said, we haven't seen him play at this intensely high level for more than 10, 11 games. How do we know? Like you said, how do we know that he's going to be able to last for an entire season and play this well at this high level that he was able to last year?
Exactly. And even at that high level, I think you can make the argument that he technically might not even be playing at a certain DeGrom level or Gerrit Cole level. There are certain things where, sure, he's playing well, but also you have to remember like what team he was on. Like, he was on the Reds. It's not like he's not in New York playing in front of the biggest crowds ever. He's not a guy who has all eyes on him. He, sure, coming out of Cincinnati, it was like, oh, look at this guy. Who else do we have? He's our main star. But when he goes to a big market where all eyes are going to be on him, he might fall apart. No one knows. And even when he was having what he so-called the best season of his life, there were other players who were playing arguably better than him. And for me, that's why I don't think he deserved to be paid like ridiculous much, because he hasn't proved himself yet, as you were saying. And for me, that was one of the reasons. So I guess, Kyle, to answer your question, I like him as a player, but I think he's very, very overrated.
I agree. And the question that I was really trying to get into before we kind of got sidetracked with Bauer, because it is interesting to get Mets fans' perspectives, because I always see on Twitter that, like, Mets fans are very – they don't like Trevor Bauer.
We're all
like,
just angry.
What's your opinion on, like what Steve Cohen's been doing from, like, bringing different types of players in? Like, obviously, he didn't get Springer, he didn't get Bauer, he didn't get Real Muto. But it seems like he's more engaged with the fans. He's on Twitter. He's trying to build this new culture with the Mets. He's trying to become the East Coast Dodgers of the National League. And, you know, I don't know how fast that can happen. I don't know what the final vision is. But I just want to know, like, what you guys think of what he's done so far.
You want to go in? Or I'll go. I love – okay, to be honest, I really, really like Steve Cohen. And anyone who came in compared to the Wilpons was going to immediately win everyone's love. That was not even a question.
Ask your Uncle Steve if he likes basketball, because I have a team that also wears blue and orange that he might be interested in.
Oh my God. No, but literally, like, I think every time a guy comes in who wants to run a team who is a ridiculously rich guy who's like, I'm willing to put a crazy amount of money into this team, especially in baseball where you don't have a salary cap, that's the only way your team's going to succeed. Why do you think the Yankees are so good year after year? Because they're willing to put so much money. And I'm so envious. Like, I will hate on the Yankees for my entire life. That is like one of my personality traits, hating on the Yankees. But it makes me so angry because they spend so much money. And I always wish the Mets would do that. So for me, I loved bringing Steve Cohen in because I knew it meant an era of the Mets willing to spend money and get these players. And the Lindor like trade for me marked the start of that. And I'm excited to see where else it goes.
And like just his engagement with fans on Twitter and stuff like that, the fact that he's been going back and forth about potentially bringing back the black jerseys with people on Twitter.
They're coming back.
It's official. But what's it called? Just the idea of him interacting with fans, talking with these people, asking like, what can I do to make you guys happier? Like, it just shows that he's willing to listen. And we, as Met fans, have never been able to experience that with the Wilpons, just because it's kind of been like, okay, here's this. We'll sign this player that really isn't going to do much. And that's about it. Meanwhile, with Cohen, he's out there. He's very open. Of course, like, he's just always looking to make Mets fans happier. And I feel like that's the best like possible trait you could have as an owner. And then, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to deny the fact that he was involved in the whole like hedge fund GameStop crap a few weeks ago. That was a little interesting, but honestly, like, I'm looking past that. In terms of Mets owners, I'm extremely happy with Steve Cohen in general. Yeah. Okay, so we were talking about Bauer. We were talking about pitchers. Let's stay on the topic of the Mets rotation real quick. So, obviously, DeGrom's going to be your number one. Stroman's going to be two. Carrasco's going to probably be three when he's able to come back from that hamstring injury. I think that he is rehabbing quicker than expected. I saw some tweet earlier today. He'll probably be three. You have Taijuan Walker. And then I think the five spot is still up for grabs, really. It's probably going to end up being like David Peterson. I mean, there's also a few of the other guys. Yamamoto went down to the minors like last week, but I think that one's still up for grabs. What do you think about that?
What's the word on Syndergaard? He's still rehabbing, right? He's not coming back anytime soon.
I don't think that he'll be back anytime soon.
Okay, that's not what I thought either. But I just like, I knew he'd been out for so long, so I was expecting him to come back at some point. I think other than DeGrom, the Mets rotation has always been shaky. That's always been the issue. It's who else is behind him? Who do you have? Especially last year when Syndergaard went down and it just became a ridiculous free-for-all. Let's bring in any guy we can possibly think of to throw on the mound and see how they react. Let's bring in Walker. Let's bring in people who are just completely random and who have had bad seasons, but maybe they'll be good. And for this season, yeah, it does make me feel better that you have some other guys that you put in there. You have a solid 1, 2, and 3 if Carrasco can come back. But beyond that, I get a little worried, because what about for those 4 and 5 games? The thing that's going to be really important for the Mets is, because they're the Mets, they're going to end up blowing games. It's the way the Mets are. They're always like that. So they're going to need late games in series where they play teams. They're going to need to pick up wins with their 4th and 5th pitchers. They're going to need to pick up wins late in their rotation, because sure, you can count on DeGrom for a win, but past that, the thing that's going to change the Mets from being an on-the-cusp team to beating the Braves out for the division, which they really need if they want to be competitive this year, you're going to need the people later in your rotation. And it's definitely a worry for me, like 100%. That's the one thing that I wish they had addressed a little bit more. And obviously, when you look at it, you brought in guys, you brought in pitchers, and that's great. But I would have liked to see them bring in some other guys. And I think you just have to rely on Trevor May is going to have to be ridiculous this year. Lugo, as soon as he gets back from his injury, is going to be at the top of his game. You better hope Diaz doesn't have an 8 ERA this year. And you hope for the best, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, so right now for that 5 spot, they have Peterson, who had a decent rookie year last year. I mean, it wasn't anything like entirely special, but definitely promising where he has potential. You have Yamamoto, who hasn't really been able to prove himself entirely. I mean, I know the Mets aren't extremely happy with him. They sent him down to the minors like a week ago. You have Joey Lucchesi from San Diego. Yeah. He didn't really play much last year, but I know he just was kind of average here and there like 2 years ago. So I don't know. I think that it's definitely like still up for grabs in terms of relief pitching and closers. We're still stuck with Diaz and Familia, and Seth Lugo's out for a few weeks. Yeah. I'm trying to, who else do we have? Why can't I think right now?
Patanti. I mean, they brought in Trevor May for that, The relief pitching's definitely a little scary. It's always been scary though. That's the Mets. When you think of the Mets, you think of,
Edwin Diaz. Ever had a good bullpen, like reliable, like, all right, we're going to lock it down. We're going to get this win. We're up 2 in the 8th. Like, has that?
I don't think as a Mets fan, I've ever felt that in my entire life. It also scares me a little bit because this league is getting so offense heavy, and you can see just the fact that home runs are going up every year. Pete Alonso recently just broke the home run record. Like, players are getting better and better on the offensive side. And that scares me too, because your pitching needs to be better, and we're seeing more pitching duels and things like that. But the Mets can't just have one pitcher that they rely on for everything. Like, that's one of the reasons why the Dodgers, even beyond their deep lineup and everything else, are so scary, because they have multiple pitchers who can go deep in the game, can last long. If, God forbid, something happens to DeGrom, what happens to the Mets? They don't even have a chance at the playoffs anymore. So I think that's your worry, is that you need more depth within your pitching.
Mm-hmm. And, like, they have Miguel Castro for the full year this year. They got him at the trade deadline last year. And I think that he's definitely got the potential to be a really solid player to come in off the bullpen and make an impact for this Mets team. Who else is in the bullpen that I'm forgetting? They have Diaz.
Is Tyler Walker a starter, or is he in the pen?
I think he's a starter. He should be a starter.
Is he that 4-5 guy?
Yeah, he's probably going to be 4 or maybe even 3 with Carrasco out.
All right. Once you guys wrap this up, I do have a question for you guys once you're done talking about the bullpen.
Well, I mean, for the bullpen, they have Diaz, they have May, they have Betances, they have Miguel Castro.
Betances was good last year. At the end of last year, he started to heat up. He's going to have to be good. He's like this huge guy.
He was a stud with the Yankees. I don't know what happened to him. His injury, really, that sucks. I hate to see that. I love that guy.
Yeah.
You have Familia. And then who else is it? I mean, Jacob Barnes? Yeah, Jacob
Barnes. It honestly, for me, it comes down to seeing Diaz and Familia not suck. That's what's going to determine it. Because even if one of them doesn't suck, you just need them to even be decent. You just can't blow games. Because the Mets are going to play through their offense. That's how they've played. You know that. We know that's going to happen. Jeff McNeil, Pete Alonso. We're all expecting that from them. But they can't blow games at the end of them. That's going to get you nowhere. So for me, the biggest thing is you can bring in whoever else you want, but if you really are sticking with Diaz and Familia, they have to be performing. And performing for me doesn't have to be best in the league, but it has to be not having an ERA over 6.
I completely agree with that statement. All right, Kyle, I'll let you ask that question.
So yeah, this is kind of more like an overarching like Mets National League question. So I heard Zoe mention beating out Atlanta for the East, and the Dodgers are obviously the powerhouse in the National League, and they'll be the heavy favorites. So I don't think it's any secret, and we talked about this yesterday briefly when we said the American League is pretty much wide open for the Yankees, that, you know, the winds of change have finally occurred, and the National League now has more competition than the American League. So it's different from the last few years where they've been Boston, New York, Houston. Like, the AL has been very top-heavy. Cleveland, even Tampa. And now – it's kind of changed a little bit where you got the Mets, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Padres. So for the NL East and the NL as a whole, like, what are your biggest concerns with like these other teams for both of you?
Look,
you go for it. You go for it.
Okay. So I really think that there's no reason why this Mets team shouldn't win the division. I really think that they have the potential to definitely be in a spot where there really shouldn't be that much competition in terms of that one spot in the NL East, just because of all, all their acquisitions this year, obviously. And then all the teams that lost players in this past off season. Look, teams like the Braves, teams like, I don't know. That's my prediction. I really think that the Mets are going to win the division this year. And obviously there's always going to be something that's going to bite me in the ass whenever I say that. But I really think that this is the year the Mets won the division.
I want to agree with you so badly, and I'm definitely hoping for that. My worry is that if you look at how the Mets in the past and how they still do, how they perform against the Braves, that's where it comes down to for me, because the Mets and the Braves can both play however they like, but what the division's going to come down to is the two playing against each other. And the Mets versus the Braves are historically bad. Like, I don't think they've been worse against any other team. They just suck against the Braves for some reason. And that's a huge fear to me, because unless they can turn that around, there's no way they win the division if three quarters of the games they play against the Braves, they lose. And everyone else in your division, like, the rest of the division's not competitive. Like, we all know that. The rest of the division sucks. But the Braves versus the Mets, that's where I get worried. What?
You're not worried about the Phillies at all?
Nah.
Not really.
Look, I think
I don't know. I mean, the Phillies got better. That's why I asked.
Look, okay. I'm just going to go through the division real quick.
No, Marlins are missing. Got better, you know? And, like, the Phillies almost made the playoffs. Listen, I'm not a big – I don't like Philly sport. That's no secret. But, you know, the Phillies are always one of those teams that, like, even though they haven't made the playoffs in 10 years, like, they've got a lot of talent on that roster. I expected you guys to – not just
– Who are you worried about? Who are you worried about?
For the Yankees or for the Mets?
No, who are you – who on the Phillies scares you that you think could actually be really dangerous?
JT Realmuto, Bryce Harper, Didi Gregorius. That's as good a 3-4-5 as you're going to get in most of the league. And then I think their bullpen – I don't know if they just replaced their crappy guys with more crappy guys, but they have different. And then – Nola's an ace, but, like, I understand what you – the Mets are a better team than the Phillies. I think the Mets are a deeper team, and they have more talent on their roster. And Anthony and you guys are both right. There's no reason why the Mets shouldn't be better than the Phillies and not win the division. But I think that it would almost be a little silly, given the Mets' history with the Phillies as well, to just bat an eye at that.
Okay.
That's true.
I'm just going to bring this up. So going through the entire division, I really think that it's kind of obvious the Marlins aren't going to have a good year this year. I think that in terms of the Phillies, the Nationals, and the Braves, they're all 80-win teams. That, I don't know. That's kind of bold.
Atlanta's a 90-win team. The first two I'll give you, but
– No, okay.
The Mets and the Braves are both 90-win teams.
I think, yeah, both the Mets and the Braves are 90-win teams. I think they're going to be both around that mark, and I think it'll definitely be close. I think that the Nationals are going to – and probably both the Nats and the Phillies are going to end up being around 80, 85 wins. And then with the Braves probably coming in first, second, I think it's really going to end up being Braves, Mets first, and then Nats, Phillies third, fourth.
I think it's not that I'm, like, not worried about the Phillies at all, but I'm just way less worried about them compared to the Braves, because I don't think that the Phillies are going to be a threat to the Mets, like, winning the division. I think the Braves are going to be the threat. And sure, like, the Phillies could be annoying for some games, but the games that they're going to be annoying towards the Mets, they're going to be annoying towards the Braves too. So my hope is that it evens out between, and sure, the Phillies can be as good as they want, but I don't think they're going to hit a Braves or a Mets level where they're going to get around 90 wins. And if they're good, I'm hoping they're going to be consistently good so that the Braves can suffer too if we end up suffering.
Right. Well, the thing about, the Braves, there's a reason they're the three-time defending champs in the NL East, and that there was a reason they were 9 outs away from the World Series last year before choking, obviously. So, yeah, I agree with you guys. If I had been in your position, I'd worry more about Atlanta. It's the same reason I'm worried more about Tampa than Toronto, because even though Toronto made more acquisitions, Tampa's just been there. So I understand your point there. So yeah, continue.
All right. So I'm trying to think, what were we talking about? We were talking about, like,
Atlanta.
Okay. So we're talking about Atlanta. Yeah. So Atlanta, the thing is that they're always dangerous in my opinion. And I'm definitely scared of them as a Mets fan, but it comes down to how the Mets play against them specifically. And honestly, if the Mets don't win the division, they're going to get the wild card just because of how competitive the division is. And
definitely,
to stay in that race, they're going to need a bunch of wins. So I think that if they are competitive for that first place spot, they're automatically going to get the wild card. But then that worries me, because then you have to go up against one of the best teams. And even though if it's like a one game thing, like, you still have to go up against some of these crazy teams. Like, you're going to have to play the Dodgers. You're going to have to do something like that, which it's just having to prove yourself very, very early. So I think for the Mets, the best way into the postseason would definitely be that first place. But if it doesn't happen, I think there are other ways for them too.
Whoever comes second in the East, whether that's the Mets or the Braves, are going to have to play San Diego.
Definitely. I think that's
San Diego probably might actually be the second best team in the National League.
But I think that the Mets actually would have a decent chance doing
they
that.
Would, like,
a
better they chance have the best pitcher in the mound. They have the best pitcher in the world on the mound.
Exactly.
But you don't trust me. Coming from a Yankees fan, you do not want to play in the wild card game. Trust me.
Yeah, no, wild card is, because wild card's always a toss-up because you never know. It's one game. You're not going to be able to kind of have that.
You could play the Tigers in the wild card game and blow it. Like, that's the thing. Like, mm-hmm. you could play one of those terrible teams and or the Rockies. You know, you never know. That's
it's one team. Tough. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, so before we get into anything else, let's just kind of go over the lineup this year. So do you think Conforto is going to end up hitting third again?
Honestly, I don't know, because I think things get shifted around a little bit more just because Rosario in the shortstop position, he was flipped around all year. I mean, exactly. You saw him early, you saw him late, and Lindor's taking that solid second spot. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he's there. So I think things are going to shift down. The problem for the Mets is it's going to be weird because you're going to see heavy hitters hit later. We're going to see Dom Smith, if they can somehow fit him into the lineup without the DH, you're going to see him hit later. There's just going to be certain hitters where they're huge hitters that they're hitting later. I honestly haven't thought too much about where Conforto is going to hit. For me, I kind of have like a couple solid things in my head. I mean, for me, I like Nimmo hitting first.
Yeah,
I like,
that's going to end up happening.
Yeah, I like Nimmo first. I like Lindor second. I like Pete Alonso in that four spot. But for me, that three spot's open. Like Conforto, sure, he can hit there. But if he starts to hit badly, like the Mets have no shortage of great hitters. Definitely. Also, if you think about it, like Jeff McNeil would be a great three hitter too, because he gets on base all the time. I mean, there's a reason why he leads in like batting average and just like getting on base percentage. There's a reason why he's so good for that.
I think McNeil's criminally underrated.
Same. Like having McNeil hit fifth almost seems like a crime.
Like McNeil might be the second best second baseman in baseball behind LeMahieu. He might be.
Yeah. And also just his numbers, how often he gets on base. I think that's also a thing. Like disregarding his play in the field, which is also really good. For me, the most impressive thing is his consistency. And I think for that, that deserves him a place higher up. So if anything, I think if Conforto starts to hit badly, you'll just switch him with McNeil and have McNeil hit third. I personally like McNeil hitting first or second, but I understand why you have Lindor there and Nimmo first. But in my opinion, like I almost could even see Nimmo at some point. If Nimmo starts hitting badly, Nimmo moves down to the bottom of the lineup and you move everyone up and then you put
completely
McNeil in the one spot. So I think the Mets lineup has to be very fluid this season based on who gets streaky, who is doing well, and who's in the slump.
No, I completely agree with that. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some switches throughout the season depending on who's hitting well, who's not hitting well, and injuries and whatever. But yeah, I think that in terms of what this Mets lineup is right now, they have to be fluid. There's going to be changes. There's going to be definitely a variety of different lineups throughout the year. But I don't know. I'm happy for tomorrow in terms of the season starting with the way that they're at right now. We'll see an actual lineup tomorrow with everything going on. DeGrom, I'm so excited. Like, I was never this really excited for baseball season because I was never that much into it. But I don't know. This year, I'm definitely excited for it.
It snuck up on me. Like, I have to say, like, or a couple nights ago, I was like, oh my God, we're almost at opening day. Like it just snuck up on me out of nowhere because I've been seeing these spring training games happen. And like, I get alerts because the Mets don't televise anything because they hate doing that. So I get alerts like, oh, the Mets won this game. The Mets lost this game. But I never really realized how soon it was. And now it's like hitting me. I'm like, oh my God, I get to watch baseball tomorrow. And I'm so psyched for it.
No, because what's it called? I mean, I really haven't been paying attention to spring training at all. I've just kind of been focused on NFL free agency and then my own life. But
and the Knicks, go Knicks.
And the Knicks, go Knicks, yes. But what's it called? So, yeah, it was really weird seeing, like, opening day is this week. Opening day is tomorrow. Yeah, you're right. It did sneak up.
Yeah. It felt like an April Fool's joke. But I am very, very excited for opening day, like 100%. Also, I mean, I don't know if you guys want to touch on it, but we talked a little bit about just the COVID cases that are happening right now, which is like the Mets already. I mean, I told you guys this before we started. I thought they were pretty much a lock to win tomorrow's game unless something went horribly wrong. I think there was no doubt in my mind that they were going to win the game.
The Mets always win on opening day, right? Mets always win on it? I don't know. That might just be me, but I remember the Mets being really good on opening day for like the last 10 years for some reason.
I don't even know. They're also the Mets though. So like they have streaks of being really good and then they will lose to like the Marlins consistently for like 2 weeks. So it just
Mets don't start sucking until late April, May. I know that, but I'm just saying they always start 1-0.
All right. So they can start 1-0. It'll be even easier this year because of all like the Nationals that just went down. But my fear is that there's going to be people who slip by under those tests just because maybe their COVID hasn't shown yet or something happens like that. And then the Mets go down. Like we've been waiting and Anthony and I were saying, like, it snuck up on us, but I'm so excited to just sit in front of my TV and watch baseball. And I'm going to be really, really pissed if, like, the Mets, if I don't get to watch them for the next week after this game because they come down with COVID.
That would be horrible.
Yeah.
Before we finish up here, we have to do this because we did it with yesterday. So 162 game record for the Mets for both of you. And then their playoff standing, if the, I assume the Mets are going to make the playoffs. I think everyone in this Zoom call thinks they will. So give me your, how many wins, how many losses, what's their final playoff round? You know what I mean?
All right. I'm going to say 97-65 just because that feels very Mets numbers. I think you give or take a couple games, but that's what I'll say.
That'd be like the best Mets regular season in 35 years.
Ooh, right? That's true.
That'd be really – I don't know. If they stay healthy, they could. They have the talent for it.
If there's any way that's going to happen, it's going to be this year.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll let it continue.
I'll believe. And then – but I'll have it come out in the playoffs. Like, I think for that, honestly, I think they find a way to blow the division. I don't see that happening for them. So I would say they blow the division, they get the wild card. Somehow they pull off that win in the wild card, and then they lose after that.
They lose to LA?
Probably, yeah. Because then it's a longer series.
Do you think Atlanta's going to win more than 97?
I think, if anything, I think Atlanta wins the same amount of games as the Mets, but they beat the Mets in more games, so they win the tiebreaker.
My guess would have been, like either which way, the winning team gets 94, the losing team gets, like, 93, 92, 91.
I have the Mets at 93 and 69. I think they're going to be right around that area where it's going to be neck and neck with the Braves. I really think that I think that it's going to be like a one or two game difference between the winner of the division and whoever's going to play in the wild card.
Yeah.
And I don't look, if the Mets end up playing in the wild card, I'm really hoping that they don't choke it, because that's going to be very heartbreaking. So I'm going to say that they win the wild card and then probably lose the next round to LA or whoever's it's going to be. But I don't know. I don't see them winning the World Series this year. I think that they're still a year or two away from that. I don't know if there's going to be another wild run that the Mets end up going on. I'm obviously going to be hoping for that and praying for that. I don't think that it's necessarily going to happen, but hey, I got proven wrong at the beginning of my Jets season preview. So maybe I'll have something good happen to me here.
I also think it just is the fact that, like, the Dodgers are so good. Like, I don't see anyone beating the Dodgers. Like, for me, I have them cruising into the World Series, winning the World Series. And I know the AL is wide open and everything like that, which is not to say any of the teams aren't good. Like,
no, the AL is not wide open. The NL is wide open. The NL is
no, the AL. No, the I Yankees think the AL.
Heavy, the Yankees are heavy favorites in the AL, which I don't like.
So that means that the AL is open.
The AL has been wide open. No, the White Sox suck. I will not hear it. The White Sox are trash.
But then what about the Astros? The Astros are scary every year, especially.
Worried about the Astros. I am. Even though they've been getting worse.
Slowly. I'd be worried about the Blue Jays. The Rays I'm not that afraid about because I think they took a step back, but I'd be worried about the Blue Jays.
You're wrong. I'm way more worried about the Rays. Trust me, as someone who watches the Yankees play the Rays 18, 19 times every year, you should never, ever not worry about the Rays. The Rays are
okay, sneaky. Fine. So that's you worry about disgusting. In your division,
a better team than the Rays over the course of 162 games, and I say that with no shame after they knocked us out last year.
Okay, so if you think the Yankees are better than, but what happens when the Astros are the ones who get further than the Yankees in the playoffs? Like, I think no matter what you do, if you somehow pull off a crazy mega upset against the Dodgers and somehow get your way to the World Series, I think that in itself is going to be a really tough game because you're going to face the Yankees, who, if the Yankees get to the World Series, it's going to be because they didn't have devastating injuries all year. Because if they have injuries like they always do, they're not going to the World Series. And now, then,
if they're healthy in October, they'll make it to the World Series, or they should. But
maybe, I mean, but they need to be healthy. If they're not at full stamina, they're not making it because they can't have crazy injuries.
I mean, I don't know. I think the Yankees have the deepest and most talented team in the American League. This is the first year where they should really be heavy favorites, because before that there was always another team that was like just as good, if not better than the Yankees. But right now the Yankees are clearly the best team in the American League on paper, and they just need to go out and prove that.
Do you have the Yankees going to the World Series?
Yeah, I have us losing to the Dodgers.
Okay.
I think that the Dodgers are going to be like anywhere between like the Mets, Padres, or Atlanta, two of those three teams in the playoffs, en route to beating the Yankees in the World Series. That's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
And I think that the Dodgers might only lose like one or two games en route that whole run.
I'm really scared of the Padres, but I think because of how stacked the NL is, I think it's kind of, it's hard because I don't see, if you somehow manage to beat the Padres, I don't see anyone else beating the Dodgers. And then also the Braves, if they don't choke in the playoffs, are also really scary. And I'd be worried if I were you as a Yankees fan, because I think the Astros, the second they get to the playoffs, are so, so scary. I mean, do we remember last year when they almost came back and like from the Rays sweep? Like, there are just certain things, like, they're so unbelievably scary. So I'd be worried if I were you.
Trust me, you do not need to be lecturing me on how scary the Astros are.
I will lecture you always on how scary
the Astros are. Trust me, I know that. Listen. Okay. My hope is that they just miss the playoffs altogether, because honestly, they're the last team I would want to play. In fact, I'll say this right now. I hope we play the White Sox in the ALCS this year, because we're better than the White Sox. And I hope we play the Rays in either round. I hope we play the Rays and White Sox, because those are the sexy picks for everyone. And, you know, I'm more worried about the Rays. I don't think the White Sox are as good as everyone thinks they are. I've been saying that, though. So it's not that much of a surprise.
All right.
All right. Well, I think that's just about going to wrap up our Mets season preview. We got a lot in today. I just want to say thank you, Zoe, for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Zoe, if you want to say your social medias as well as shout out your show again, you definitely can.
Okay. So on YouTube, it's Football Frenzy. We also have an Instagram if you just look it up. And yeah, that's about it for me.
You can tweet your, I'm sorry. I was looking at Twitter. You can say your personal stuff too.
Okay. And then my Instagram, well, my Twitter, you know, because I think I'm funny. So Zoe,
oh, you're hilarious, Zoe. You're hilarious.
I know, I'm so funny. It's mostly just Lion sob stories, but there'll be a lot of Mets content.
Thanks for Galladay, homie.
Oh yeah, fantastic. So Zoe Alter one there, and then Zoe Alter on Instagram. And yeah, that's about all. Thank you guys for having me. I had a blast. I will mock you about the Yankees any day, Kyle. Any day.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
All right. So if you want to follow us on social media, it's going to be Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. If you want to follow me, I'm Anthony Evangelista on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. Give your little spiel, Kyle.
As always, I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one. That's Kyle1 E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. I wasn't paying attention. I was quote tweeting someone. Did you say the Big Apple Sports Media one yet?
Yes, I did. I did. Don't worry.
And also, sorry we've neglected talking about the Knicks and football for the last like week, which is kind of weird because the Knicks have been winning most of their games. So we'll be back on that. Sorry, I had a lot of college visiting to do. Woo, college process!
Oh, yeah. We love it.
Yeah, Zoe's excited too.
So psyched.
And me and Zoe are juniors, so we're about to enter the hellscape. Congrats on being committed to High Point, Anthony.
You jerk. Thank you, sir.
Oh, yes.
Thank you,
congrats.
Sir. You jerk.
All right. I mean, for all the college visiting you're doing, your college basketball bracket's a little sad, but, you know.
My college bracket's terrible, I know.
Yeah, no.
At least you're not Anthony picking Texas. That was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen.
Hey,
I picked Texas to the final. My bracket was trash, I know.
I thought that Texas and Oklahoma State were going to meet in the championship.
Baylor goes to the finals and then Gonzaga beats them, I win my brackets. So,
listen,
you know.
I wanted Gonzaga. I picked Gonzaga, but UCLA, USC would have been a cool final four.
Oh, I would have loved it. I'm the hugest USC stan, so I wanted them to beat Gonzaga. Like, I didn't care that it was going to mess up my whole bracket. Like, I just wanted to see it, but no.
Let's go UCLA.
Yeah, no, seriously. I'm probably rooting for UCLA now that all my brackets are done. I feel like that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
See them win.
Well, that's just about going to wrap up episode 40 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. See you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.